Romans chapter 13, verse 5. We have been talking about our relationship to God as far as our practical things are concerned. Paul gives us the things we need to know in the first part of his book, and here in the last part, beginning at chapter 12, he tells us the things that how to apply that which he has taught us or told us that we need to know as far as doctrine is concerned. And we have a relationship to God, present our body unto him a living sacrifice. We have spiritual gifts that we can use to serve Jesus Christ. And people want to use spiritual gifts for the purpose of being a ruling or to be in statue, but spiritual gifts are for the purpose of serving. It's down on the ground level. It's where the rubber meets the road, as they say. It's where you put shoe leather on your Christianity, as some people have said. It's the practical things, and that's what spiritual gifts are for. Not to lord it over somebody or to be a ruler over somebody, but to help people. And this is basically why we are left here on the earth after we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, is to help people. It would be a lot better off if we were in heaven. In heaven, there's no suffering and sadness or sorrow, no disappointments. Everything is great and good up there. Everything down here is bad. In comparison to being in heaven. And so why would God leave us here if there's all this suffering and sadness and sorrow? Well, people need help. And that's what we're left here for, is to help people. Then, of course, we have our relationship to other saved people. And then we have a relationship to unsaved people. Then we have a relationship to our government, and that's what we started in the 13th chapter's relationship to government. And so we talked about capital punishment a little bit last week. A lot of people don't believe in capital punishment. The Bible says to do it. The sword is not bared in vain. The sword would be that which we you use to take a person's life, as a gun is today. It's for protection, and it's also for execution. And the government does not bear the sword in vain. And the government is a minister of God, an avenger to execute wrath upon that person that does evil. When a person has harmed another person, then the government should step in and do something about it. We have gotten this thing all turned around through the liberalism of our country, and we turn the criminal loose, and the person who has not done things wrong or have been law-abiding citizens are the victim today, rather than being vindicated. They are taken and making victims out of it. And it just seems like, well, it's not right and it's not fair. When two young men murder their parents in cold blood, and apparently they're going to walk scot-free. Here's a guy that takes a brick and beats another guy in the head till he almost dies, and he goes scot-free. It's just unreal. Here's a guy that has been abused by some police, and now he is, it doesn't matter what he does, he's turned loose. He's done things that he should have been put in jail for, but they were afraid to even touch him now. Well, this is ridiculous. When you do wrong, you should be punished for it. When you abuse somebody else, you should be punished for it. The government should do that. This is why God gave us government, is to protect us. Government has three basic functions. And when we get past those functions, then you begin to take people's rights away. You might want to jot these three functions down. The government should have a court system that is correct and that does the right thing. A court system is to provide justice. When somebody abuses somebody else, then that person should be taken to court, and the court should decide what to be done about it. The second thing that a government should do is to have a police force to enforce what the court says. Without a police force, then the court's no good. You can't have a court without something to carry out the will of the court. And the third thing is a army. The army is to keep a foreign nation off of you. The police is to keep your neighbor off of you, and to have justice to protect you from your neighbor. The army is to protect you from the adjoining nations or other nations, and the court should be there for the purpose of having justice. When you get past that, then, like I say, you're taking away freedom from people. And our government has gotten into so much business today that they are just big business is all you can say about it. And it's costing us, when you fill out your income tax April 15th and send it off, we'll see there. Of course, a lot of times the government is taking it out before we get it. And we don't realize how much they're getting. The government is getting approximately 50% of everything that you make now. We don't realize that they're getting that much, but for every dollar that you make, you're only getting to spend 50 cents. They have a lot of hidden taxes and a lot of ways that they get it from us that we have no idea. And it's tax on tax on tax. And I got to the place where I don't care who it is or what it is. If any politician talks about raising taxes, I'm not going to vote for him, and I'm going to vote against him the next time. It doesn't matter if it's regardless of how little it is. I'm not going to vote for anybody that raises taxes anymore. Now, you can do what you want to, but enough is enough is enough. And we need to start cutting taxes. They promised us when they added that 1% sales tax on our state a few years or so ago. It said as soon as we got out of the red, then they were going to take the 1 cent sales tax away and dream on. I mean, you can lie all you want to, and that's all they've done. We got a surplus now. They are about to take that 1 cent sales tax away. Once they ever put it on, they ain't going to take it off. And I'm not for taxing us anymore. If anybody say they're going to lower taxes, then I'll vote for them. I don't care what they are like, if I think they are honest at all whatsoever. Well, this is our government. Verse 5, wherefore, ye must needs be subject, talking about to the government, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. Now, when the government makes statements or the government make laws, we better be obedient to those laws, regardless of what is right or wrong. When the government makes a law, then you better listen to what it says and you better obey it. Because they're going to put some teeth in that law. For instance, we have speed limit signs, and we have speed limits at different places. Now, you can exceed the speed limit, but if you continue to exceed the speed limit, sooner or later you're going to get caught. And sooner or later you're going to get a ticket. And sooner or later you're going to have to pay some more taxes, some more money. So, this is an indirect tax, I guess you would say. So, anytime you break the laws, then you better be careful, because you're going to get caught sooner or later if you continue to do it. And that's what he's saying here. He's saying, wherefore ye must be subject not only for wrath. That's where that policeman catches you and gives you a ticket and charges you. Or we have laws against robbing banks. You can rob a bank, and sooner or later you're going to get caught, and they're going to put you in jail. You can steal out of a person. You can shoplift, and if you shoplift, sooner or later you're going to get caught. I was in Walmart the other day, and there was this lady walking around with a purse on her shoulder, and I was standing there talking to one of the employees, and whom I knew, and this lady walked up and says, under her breath, "Watch that guy in the denim jacket." And apparently she was policing the store. And she looked like everybody else. Well, there are a lot of shoplifters in Walmart, and they're trying to catch them. And sooner or later, those guys that were shoplifting are going to get caught. They know who they are. They are watching for them, and, you know, they know what to look for. And the ones that are suspicious looking, they're going to put somebody on them, and sooner or later they're going to get caught, and they're going to prosecute them. And that's what he's talking about here. There's going to be wrath if you get caught breaking the law. And not only wrath, you shouldn't do it because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. Now, what is your conscience? We talked about the conscience before. What is your conscience? What does your conscience do? What's the purpose of your conscience? All right. Your conscience will hurt you when you do wrong. Your conscience tells you to do right. Doesn't tell you what's right. It just says do right. Now remember that. Your conscience only tells you to do right. Only tells you to do what you know is right. If you don't know something is not right, or if you don't know it's wrong, your conscience won't hurt you. Your conscience cannot and does not hurt you as long as you don't know it's wrong. But as soon as you find out it's wrong and you do it again, then your conscience is going to hurt you. Conscience only says, do that which you know is right. Now, you can train yourself to think something that is wrong, and is right when it's wrong. For instance, today, apparently, in our schools, it doesn't matter if you cheat. Cheating is not very, very wrong in most schools today. And the young people, they get caught, and what happens? Nothing. And if they get caught, you know, nothing happens to them, so it doesn't bother their conscience. When I was there, when I was in school, if you got caught, you got a zero, you probably get taken down to the principal's office, and he'd turn you over the desk and use that electric paddle on you, beat the daylights out of you. When you got home, you got killed. I mean, you know, your parents would just completely wipe you out, you know. And, you know, today, nothing happens. So what happens? Your conscience doesn't hurt you. Now, if I had cheated, my conscience would have hurt me. I knew it was wrong. I did it anyway. It hurt. But you can sear your consciences with a hot iron. You can keep on doing something over and over and over again until finally your conscience doesn't hurt you. And this is what's happened. We can do it wrong over and over again. That's the reason why that guy that hit the guy in the head with a brick there in Los Angeles a few months ago, he didn't think anything wrong. Everybody else was rioting, and everybody else was stealing, and, you know, everybody else was in doing all this stuff, and he just picked up a brick and started beating this guy in the head. Didn't bother him a bit. He thought it was all right. Pleaded not guilty. almost killed a fellow, dragging him out of the truck and beating him in the head, and the guy hadn't done anything, just was at the wrong place at the right time. That was the only thing he did wrong, and he didn't know. If he had known not to be there, he wouldn't have been there. He wasn't trying to aggravate anybody or do anything, just got caught in the wrong place at the right time. And those folks think it's all right to do that, that they're right in doing that. And apparently some jurors thought the same thing, because they said, not guilty. Not guilty. It just blows your mind. And this is what is happening in our country today. The consciousness of people, their conscience, has been seared with a hot iron. And we don't even know right from wrong anymore. We don't even have standards. But God gives us standards. And we're going to see those standards, or some of those standards, as we go down through here. Notice verse 6. It says, For this cause pay you tribute. Now, what is tribute? That's basic tax. That's property tax. Now, we need some government. We need good government. We need good courts. We need good policemen. We need a good army. So we have to be taxed for that. And I have no problem at all whatsoever paying for the taxes to have a good court system. I have no problem at all for paying taxes for having a policeman on the corner to keep my neighbor out of my house and from harming me and my children. And why? I have no problem at all with that. I have no problem at all for paying taxes to have an army like we had in what we had when we went over to Desert Storm. I was proud and glad to pay taxes for that. To have an army like that. Have no problem at all. But all this other stuff, I have a problem with it. I really do. I don't think I ought to be made to do some of these things that I am having to do. I don't like it. But I pay it just the same. When I fill it out, or my little brother tells me how much I owe, I write a check and I send it to them folks up there in Washington. Because the Bible says, pay tribute to those who... For this cause, you are to pay tribute. For they are God's ministers. God raises up these policemen and our government, so we can have these things that are necessary to maintain a national entity. For they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. So render, which means to give to them, render, therefore, to all their due, tribute to whom tribute is due. And that's basic tax, as we said, custom, which is indirect tax. There are also some custom, to whom custom is due. Fear, respect. Fear doesn't mean to be frightened of them. You know, like we were when we were kids, you know, night marshal would come by, or the sheriff would come by, and we were driving and didn't have a driver's license, and we'd just get all upset. I remember one day my little brother was going to town in the car, and the marshal came up and pulled him over and said, "Let me see your license." Of course, he knew he didn't have any license. He knew how old he was, and known him all his life since he was born. "Let me see your license." And of course my little brother started crying. I mean, he's 10 years old, 11 years old. And he starts crying. And of course the night marshal starts laughing. Well, That made my little brother mad when he started laughing at him. And he never did like that fellow again. I mean, he just scared him to death, because he just laughed, turned around, got in his car, and drove on off. And, you know, that's just the way that he did things back in those days. But it scared my little brother to death. And, you know, he should have been frightened. He was driving without a license. But we are to give them respect, not fear. He shouldn't have scared my little brother. If he didn't want him to drive, he should have called my daddy up and said, "Hey, you need to stop your son from driving." Or at least giving him a ticket. Don't scare him half to death. Of course, it was just pulling a prank on him, and he didn't know my little brother was going to get upset like he did. But give respect to those who you should respect. You don't have to respect the man, but you got to respect the office. There are elected officials who are corrupt, and you don't have to respect their corruption. They're immoral, and you don't have to respect their immorality. But you are to respect the office of president, the office of mayor, the office of governor. How good, bad, or indifferent they are, you still are to respect the office. Just like in the military. You know, here's a general. He walks in, and everybody stands in respect. Now, they may not like him. They may hate him. But they still salute. And they still listen to what he says and does what he says. Why? He's the general. And you better do that. If you don't, you go to the guardhouse. You pull a little duty. You get in the brink for a while. And rightly so. Now, the guy may be dumb. He may be an idiot. But he's still the general. And we need to respect the office, not the person necessarily. And that's what he's saying here. We should have respect for those who respect. Honor to whom honor is due. We're to do that. Now, this is our relationship to our government. Now, he's going to give us some... Any questions or comments or things on the government that we've said this morning? I know we've just sort of run through it hurriedly, but giving you a little smattering of what it's all about. Maybe you have a question or a comment. Anybody? All right, now we have some things as far as our neighbor is concerned, and you know who your neighbor is. As far as the Bible is concerned, your neighbor is not the guy who lives next door to you, necessarily. He is your neighbor. Your neighbor is anybody that you run into or have contact with. It doesn't matter where they are, where you run into them, how often you run into them. Anybody that you contact or you have any relationship or any contact to is your neighbor. So when he talks about neighbors here, he's talking about people whom you know. Then he says here, stop owing, owe no man anything, or stop owing any man anything. Is literally what he's saying. Now, what does he mean here? Stop owing anybody anything. Does that mean that you can't charge anything anywhere? No, I don't believe so. There are a lot of people who do. In fact, I have known of preachers who took this verse so literally that they paid their help every night. Every day when they people who worked for them, they paid them before they went home. Because it says, owe no man anything. Well, if you go, and I know some people here in this county that do that. They believe this way. They don't believe in having any debt at all. They don't believe in charging anything on any circumstance. But, let me say this about that. They don't pay their light bill every day. So they owe some money on the light bill. See? They don't pay their taxes every day. So they owe on taxes at the end of the year. Then they owe it. You say, well, it's not due until January 31st, taxes. The light bill is not due until a certain date that's put on there. That's true. But that's what I'm saying. When you are late in paying your bills, then you owe someone. And if he says don't do that, if the bill is due on the 15th of the month, then pay them on the 15th of the month. Don't have overdue bills, is what he's saying. Owe no man anything. Don't be in debt to people. Now, it's a good idea to not have to pay interest on accounts. It's not smart at all to put more on your credit card, particularly, than you can pay at the end of the month. That's not good business at all. Used to, that interest was 18% to 25%. And that is ridiculous. There's no one who doesn't have much money can afford to pay that much tax, interest. In fact, people like you and I, about 6 or 7% is about max that we can afford to pay. You really can't afford to pay that much, but that's about a max of what we ought to be doing. You get much over that, and then it's going to be hard to pay off. You're going to have a lot of cash flow. You have to have a lot of money. It's going to be turned over a lot of time to pay over 6%, 7%. I told somebody several years ago, never would pay over 7% interest. Never will do that. Because I can't afford it. I just can't afford to pay over 7%. I really can't afford that, but you're not over 7%. They say, well, you'll never be able to get a loan. I said, well, I may not. But I'm not going to pay over 7%. And now you can really get a loan for less than that if you can get it to the right place. Most anybody can get one at 7 now. Credit cards are over that. But you can go to the bank or different places and get loans now at 7 or less. In fact, you can get them down as much as 4 and 5% now. You know the right people in the right places. But don't owe people. This is a bad testimony. This is a bad business. Particularly if they are giving you, if you're paying interest on it. And we don't need to owe people, is what he's saying. You can lose friends, and you can lose people lose confidence in you quicker over money than anything else. And that's the reason why he says, owe no man anything. But notice the big emphasis here. Owe no man anything but to love one another. Loving one another. This is the bottom line, is that we're to love one another. If you love somebody, you're not going to intentionally owe them. Now, you may do like I did one time. I got over my head and I got too much on the books. I got owed too much and I'd like to never got it all paid off. I just messed up and overloaded myself. I didn't calculate close enough as to what I could handle. And It was rough. And I had to go in and talk to some people and tell them, look, I can't handle this. Would you? But I am going to. And I talked to them and explained my situation. And they said, fine, just as long as we understand. And if you ever get in that position, the best thing to do is go and talk to folks. If you owe somebody, call them. Write them. And you can't pay it, be sure and do that. This will save you credit. It'll save you friendship. It'll save your respect. And you want people to respect you. But then love one another. This is the emphasis here. Don't owe folks, but love folks. we need to love each other. There's very little of this in the world today. We see a lot of greed. We see a lot of covetousness. We see a lot of the negative, but loving is positive. And I remember something that was said of the Apostle John. You know, the one who was always next to Jesus and always talking to him, being real close to him. The one who wrote the Gospel of John, the one who wrote the little three epistles of John. The one whom Peter, the Last Supper, says, hey, ask him who's the one. He says he was on Jesus' breast, which means he was right next to him as they were laying down there eating the Last Supper. John was right close to Jesus, and Peter says, hey, ask him who's the one who's going to betray us. John, all of his life, kept emphasizing to everybody he spoke to and he preached to and he taught. He would always say, brethren, love one another. That would be his last words as he would be leaving the meeting, according to tradition, that John would say, love one another. Love one another. Because there's very little love. There's very little love. Love is where you give to others without expecting anything in return. Do what we do for other people so often because we want something from them. I scratch your back, you scratch my back. You do something for me, I do something for you. Love is, hey, I'll be glad to help you. Be glad to do this for you, not expecting anything in return. I was in a doctor's office the other day, and this lady was going in to see the doctor, and her husband, she thought, was out in the van out in front of the clinic. And the nurse said, we need your husband here in the doctor's office with you. And she said, I'll go out there. I'll send somebody out there and get him. And I said, hey, I'll go. I was sitting there waiting, and I knew it was going to be a while. And she says, you don't mind? Well, of course, if I'd have minded, I wouldn't have told her I would go, for one thing. But, you know, I just went out there and got him. And I wasn't expecting anything in return. Those folks, I'll never see them ever again. This was up in Memphis, Tennessee. I'll never see those folks. I did that for them. Well, just to help them out. Not expecting anything in return. Now, I don't necessarily say I love those people. If I had known those people, I might have loved them. But this is what love is doing something for someone, not expecting anything in return. There's nothing those folks could do for me, because they'll never see me again. In fact, I don't really know. I really didn't even get a good picture, shot at the lady's face. And I didn't see the husband because he wasn't in the truck. I mean, he wasn't in the van when I got there. He already left and come up there. And we passed each other on the way. So I don't know what he looks like. They don't know me. So he can't do anything for me. Now that's what love is. Is when you do something for somebody and not expecting anything in return. That's the kind of love that God had for you and for me when he sent his son to die on a cross and pay for our sins. What can we do for God? He's got everything. He is everything. He doesn't need any help. But he loved me enough to send his son down to die for me and pay for my sins. And there's nothing I can do for him, nothing I can give him, because I don't have anything that's fitting to give to him. Well, that's what love is. And that's what he tells us here, to love each other. Don't owe anybody, but love one another.